The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents.
We love the
Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes. It is Tuesday, October? February 8th. Man, I don't know what's going
on
here.
That was a good one.
February 8th, 2011. I saw the 10 up on the clock, and I thought October. February 8th, 2011. It's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Although, ironically, not 420 here.
No.
I think that's the problem. I started without my pre-show bowl. So, anyway, welcome to the show. Glad to have you here. And we got a great show for today. Joining us here, of course, in the studio, running everything technical, is our own Ganja John.
How are you doing, Russ?
Well, I think I'm okay.
Yeah.
If I figure out what month it is, I think we'll be just fine. Oh, my goodness. How embarrassing. On today's show, we have got all sorts of great stuff, including our Electric Tuesday. We're going to get a call in from Cannabis Cure UK from across the pond, bringing us the best in electronic music. On today's show at half past, we're going to replay the interview that we had with U.S. Representative Congressman Jared Polis from Colorado. I brought this up to the folks, my colleagues, at Normal, and they said, wow, this is a great interview. How come you didn't tweet it out for all of our Normal followers? And I'm like, I don't have Normal's Twitter account. They're like, you don't? Well, and so they said, you ought to rerun the interview and then tweet out to all the Normal followers on the Normal list that it's on so they can get a chance to catch it. So we're going to do that. We're going to replay the interview because Representative Polis has some wonderful things to say, and I think it deserved to be heard again. So we'll play that at half past. Also on today's show, after that Polis interview, something going viral on the net today, a clip from Family Feud with Steve Harvey as the host, asking what gets passed around. And of course, you know what the answer is, but the reactions are pretty hilarious. And then at the end of the show, a rant about what's going on in Egypt and its connection to marijuana. We talked a little bit about it in the news yesterday. We're going to talk about how that affects American politics in the rant at the end of the show. But before we get to all that, we've got to join up with our own Cannabis Carrie in Grastoria, Oregon. Carrie, how are you? Yeah, glad to have you here, Carrie. Carrie brings us our hemp headlines right after the first break. So what's in the news today, Carrie?
Well, today we're going to get a look at those applicants who are trying to open dispensaries in Rhode Island. They had a public hearing on that yesterday. We're going to go over all that. Also, a would-be island man burning his stash in protest. We're going to talk about why he did that. Also, Indiana is looking into a study that's pretty exciting for Indianans. And let's see, one more. I can fit one more in there. How about a story about an insurance company? That sounds exciting.
Oh, yeah, exciting stories about insurance. We don't want to leave that one out, Carrie. Oh,
right.
Thanks. We'll take a look at that right after this first break. Make sure you check out the websites of our sponsors. They are helping to bring this show to you. And check out our blog at stash.normal.org, where you can get the downloads, the videos, the news stories, the links, everything that you can't get here on the show. You can find it at our blog, stash.normal.org. We're right back with the hemp headlines. Stick around.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
In today's
busy world, we're inundated by advertising for all types of pharmaceuticals that come with a laundry list of potential side effects. Shouldn't you have better medical choices? Natural alternatives to pills pushed by Big Pharma? At Alternative Medical Choices, you could choose natural, safe, and effective alternative therapies that are right for your budget without nasty side effects. Cannabis, or marijuana, has been a legal medicine in the Pacific Northwest since 1998. Our doctors will help determine your qualifications for a medical marijuana recommendation in Oregon, no matter where you live. Our massage therapist will ease your aches and stress with soothing hemp seed oil or cannabis-infused massage salves. We also offer acupuncture, Reiki, and other alternative health therapies. Call Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon at 503-288-5579 or visit our website at www.altmedchoices.com. We specialize in out-of-state recommendations. That's www.altmedchoices.com or call 503-288-5579.
High in the Rockies. For the first time ever, High Times is hosting the Medical Cannabis Cup in the Mile High City, Denver, Colorado. Come to the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup. There'll be cultivation seminars with High Times editors Danny Danko and Nico Escondido, plus other experts and cannabis celebrities. Attend activism seminars with leaders of the medical marijuana movement, including advice on how to start your own cannabis business. Meet industry leaders in medical cultivation, hydroponics, smokable glassware, hemp products, dispensary supply, cannabis accessories, and more. Plus, Medical Cannabis Cups will be awarded to the best indica, sativas, concentrates, and edibles entered by legally operating medical marijuana dispensaries and growing collectives. And don't forget Saturday night when the Medical Cannabis Cup will host the extravaganza with surprise musical guests. The High Times Medical Cannabis Cup, April 2nd and 3rd, 2011 at Exto in Denver, Colorado. Visit MedCanCup.com for details. Be part of the growing cannabis industry. Come to the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup in Denver.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
Rhode Island Department of Health held a hearing yesterday to gauge what the public has to say about the 18 applications to operate the state's medical marijuana dispensaries or compassion centers. All 18 applications were made mostly public so that the citizens could scrutinize and have their say about the pool of those applying to open a dispensary. A large crowd turned out and packed into the Cannon Building on Capitol Hill in Providence. The hearing lasted most of the day, but began with three elected officials expressing strong opposition to the compassion centers. Cranston Mayor Alan Fung, Representative Peter Palumbo, a Democrat from Cranston, and Representative Doreen Costa, a Republican from North Kingston, all said they had grave concerns about the proposed dispensaries. Mayor Fung said that he worried about the implications of going against the federal government by establishing dispensaries, a comment that created a large grumble from the crowd of patients and advocates. Fung said that since the Congress still considers marijuana a dangerous drug, he does not want a compassion center in his city of Cranston. Three of the 18 applications have proposed dispensaries or grow sites in the city of Cranston. The majority of the applicants want to operate in the Providence metropolitan area, and the applications consisted of 18 questions about details of their business plans, projections in revenue, security, employees, and directors, where they plan to grow and sell the medical marijuana, among others. One application was 423 pages long, and one was only 8 pages long. Some applicants detail greenhouse operations, while others have complex heating and hydroponic systems in modified warehouses. Some of the applicants include plans to include high-paying positions within 3 years, such as the Hope Apothecary Group that plans to have a payroll of 29, including 12 positions that pay $90,000 to $150,000 annually for jobs such as security experts, horticulturists, and top administrators. Sales projections range from $1 to $25 million in sales based on the anticipated growth in the next 3 years of people approved by Rhode Island's Health Department. There are currently just over 3,000 medical marijuana patients in Rhode Island. Some patients express concerns over the price of medical marijuana available through a dispensary. The price, according to thepriceofweed.com, puts one of the higher values of marijuana street prices in the nation at over $400 an ounce in Rhode Island. Prices at dispensaries would be anywhere from $200 an ounce to more than $500 an ounce. As a patient, you are allowed to purchase up to 5 ounces in a month in Rhode Island. To address those concerns, one of the dispensaries laid out plans for a twice-a-month sale to patients on military, federal, or state disability to get their medical marijuana for 50% off the counter prices, along with cancer and AIDS patients. One applicant said that any patient that has less than 6 months to live would get free marijuana and all other services for free. Many of the applicants plan on providing other services such as acupuncture or yoga, and also plan on offering cannabis-infused edibles. Most of the testimony in yesterday's hearing was from patients themselves who seem ready to enter a new phase of Rhode Island's medical marijuana program.
Well, of course, the first thing that's going to catch my attention there is $200 to $500 an ounce for patients. And while it's commendable that they want to arrange this so that the terminal patients and cancer patients can get it 50% off or get it for free, whatever they might be mentioning, that still means that somebody who's disabled or sick or in pain or suffering nausea or whatever has to pay these exorbitant prices. We all know what the cost of weed is as far as what it takes to produce it, especially if you're allowed to produce it legally and with large-scale growing techniques. It's a tenth the cost of what they're talking about here. 20 to 50 bucks an ounce, maybe, that we're talking about here. This is what needs to happen in medical marijuana, is that it needs to be legalized for everyone so that we don't have to keep tiptoeing around this line between criminal and patient and having to come up with absurd security systems and all sorts of restrictions on how much can be grown and who can grow it, where it can be grown, and always the police trying to keep the limits as low as possible to avoid any diversion to the so-called criminal market. This is going to continue. Prohibition is propping up the price of legal medical marijuana. That's why we've got to fight for full legalization, because then the price will never come down for the patients until we do. Now, as far as paying luxury taxes or what might be more than the production cost and for growers to be able to make a good living, I'm all for that when it's completely legal. Go ahead and tax the hell out of those of us who are just using it for a good time. But there's no reason that people who are suffering should be paying $200 to $500 an ounce. Rhode Island, medical marijuana states, we can do better than this.
Whidbey Island is a largely rural island located on the north side of Washington State's Puget Sound. It's home to about 60,000 residents, some summer festivals, and the raw beauty of the Pacific Northwest Olympic Mountain Range. It is also home to Captain Blind of Freeland, Washington, a town whose very name speaks of the socialist commune that was based there in the early 1900s. Blind was trying to establish the first marijuana cooperative on Whidbey Island, a plan he publicly announced last month. After some critics online began adding negative comments to his Facebook page, Blind threatened to destroy his supply of medical marijuana when he said that some of the comments were thinly veiled threats to his wife and himself. Other online opponents to the collective questioned his motives. Well, earlier this week, he made good on that promise by stacking 11 juvenile and mature plants, along with about a kilogram jar full of a half pound of usable marijuana on his burn pile, dousing it with a fifth of Monarch 151 rum tincture and then some gasoline and throwing on a match. As he watched his dream of a marijuana collective burn, he told reporters that were at the burning that the cannabis he was destroying was valued at about $12,000. Then he said, "Do I look like a rich guy to you? Somehow, I don't think that I am. This is a plant matter. It's not money. It's not power. It shouldn't reflect wealth. It's legalized to make sick people feel better, and that's what it has done for me." He said that he feels safer now that his plants are gone, but says that he plans to restructure his co-op idea into a nonprofit, and any profit made will be given to a community food bank. He says he first will have to find respectable and responsible people in the community to help him realize his dream. He wants to reach out to the most vocal opponent to add accountability and credibility to a new organization. He said that he has no regrets about burning his plants or proposing the co-op, telling reporters that, hey, it's just a plant.
Okay, let's see if I followed this correctly, Carrie. The guy says he wants to create the marijuana co-op there. He gets some haters on Facebook, and so to respond to them, he burns up all his marijuana? Did I get this right?
You did. I think it's because a lot of people came out to question his motives about profit. He was making a spectacle by calling reporters over to watch him burn all his marijuana to say to them, hey, this isn't about me making money.
So an act of self-sacrifice then?
I don't know. I wouldn't do it.
He's like, this is the strangest story. I'm trying to figure out, you know, what he was trying to prove here. But interesting nonetheless. Thanks for bringing it to us, Carrie.
And with all the new services cropping up around the new cannabis-based industries, an insurance specialist is the newest must-have for medical marijuana dispensaries, collectives, and cooperatives, caregivers, and cultivators. MMD Insurance is based out of Sacramento, California, and offers a wide variety of coverage plans for any cannabis-based business. But one of the new coverage packages includes raids on medical marijuana operations. The raid coverage program is designed to protect any legally operating cannabis business. The coverage provides relief to growers and dispensaries that are raided by state or local law enforcement agencies, provided that the operators have adhered to all the specified state and local guidelines. The insurance coverage is available to those in states that recognize medical marijuana by law. Coverage does not include property that is seized by a federal enforcement agency such as the DEA.
Well, okay. As usual, when dealing with insurance, you always got to watch that fine print. First of all, only state and local raids are going to count here for their insurance. And of course, that's because they can't do a thing about the federal raids. It's illegal federally. You can't insure somebody for committing a federal crime. But I love the point about it, any legally operating operations in the states that have medical marijuana. Well, a lot of people think that what they're doing is a legal operation. When you get right down to the letter of the law, the way they're operating it isn't quite legal, especially when we're talking about California, where cooperatives are allowed. But a lot of what we have here in California of storefront dispensary type things, if you really took it to court and broke it down based on the law, it might not be considered legal. And I can see an insurance company trying to wiggle like that out of being able to having to pay for any of those claims. So buyer beware. I would take any of these insurance offers that you get for things like this. Always run them by your attorney, your legal counsel here to find out what the fine print might be. But otherwise, it is good to see that somebody is thinking about this and thinking about providing this service for the marijuana community. Let's just get it legalized so we can just get plain old business insurance like everyone else.
And we will be watching on Thursday when Indiana senators are slated to debate a proposal that would create a study on whether the state of Indiana should legalize marijuana. The proposal originated with Democratic Senator Karen Tillian, would direct the Criminal Law and Sentencing Study Committee to examine Indiana's marijuana laws next summer and propose any recommendations based on their findings. Tillian says that based on other states decriminalizing small amounts of cannabis and others creating medical marijuana programs, that the time is right for Indiana to start the discussion. Now, Democrats are far outnumbered in the Indiana Senate, but Republican Senate Corrections Committee Chairman Brent Steele said that he is giving Tallien's proposal a legislative hearing, even though he can't imagine the conservative state of Indiana ever legalizing marijuana. Tallien says that she is receiving support because it only creates a study committee on the issue, and both opponents and advocates might find reasons to bolster their arguments depending on the outcome. We will keep you posted.
Okay, so on Thursday, they're going to get together to discuss a proposal to have a study to look at whether maybe we should legalize marijuana. Hey, it's a step for Indiana, that's for sure. But boy, what a timid step it is. We're going to think about talking about maybe perhaps studying what we might do. This is politics, folks, and this is the way it works out. But Indiana's always been a tough place for marijuana law reform. Of course, the recently retired Representative Souder out there in Indiana, he was the man behind the Higher Education Act that took away college students' loans and student aid if they got caught smoking a joint in college. I mean, there's a time and a place for everything. So Indiana's always been a tough place, got really tough laws there. And it's kind of interesting, too, Indiana being right up alongside of Ohio, which has the highest threshold for marijuana decriminalization. You know, right next door in the state, right next door, you can have up to 100 grams, about 3.5 ounces of marijuana, and it's just a $100 ticket. Meanwhile, in Indiana, that same amount is going to get you a felony and some time behind bars. We hope you all check out Indiana Normal on the web, inormal.org, Indiana Normal. They're also on Twitter, inormal as well. And get involved in Indiana. You know, we can change marijuana laws in every state. We've got states like Oklahoma, Oklahoma and Texas talking about decriminalization. We got Idaho proposing medical marijuana. There's no reason a state like Indiana can't get involved as well. You just have to be a part of it. Get involved with Indiana Normal. Send me an email at stash@normal.org. I'll send you the contact information on whatever state you might be in, and even some international chapters. We can do this together. Let's legalize it.
But in the meantime, I think we might take a break.
We might just have to take a break and get things together. When we come back, we'll be talking with Cannabis Cure UK for Electric Tuesday in Daily Toker Tunes.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would say to South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
As High Times Senior Cultivation Editor, I'm often called into the field and asked to sample or even identify exotic strains of marijuana in their natural habitat. Now, for the first time, I've compiled more than 120 of my favorite strains into this single field guide designed to fit into your pocket as you travel the world in search of your favorite plant. From a friend's closet grow room to the wilds of Northern California, this single guide covers all of today's best-known strains, plus heirlooms and throwbacks, including High Times quality photos and information on each variety's genetic heritage and growing characteristics, plus my personal notes on aroma, flavor, and potency. So this is Danny Danko, author of the official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains, wishing you good times and great ganja.
The official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana
Normal
Strains
Show Live
is available at hightimes.com and finer bookstores.
You're holding consent. In most states, you will be arrested immediately and you will go to jail. If you don't consent to a search, police may try to intimidate you by threatening to bring in drug-sniffing dogs, or try to fool you by saying things will go easier if you consent. Yeah, easier for them, sure. Stand your ground, refuse the search, and ask the officer if you're free to go. If they still detain you and eventually find your contraband, you'll be no more busted than if you had allowed the search. But by refusing the search, your attorney has a chance to win your acquittal before a judge. If you consent to the search, your attorney's hands are tied. You can find a list of Normal Legal Committee attorneys specializing in marijuana cases by visiting the Find a Lawyer link at normal.org.
It's time for your Daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we bring you Tunes for Electric Tuesday, our segment featuring the best of modern electronic music in the genres of dance, new age, house, and electronica, brought to you by Greg in Surrey, Sussex, England, and Cannabis Cure UK. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes. Oh, it's so nice on the Tuesdays that we can go all the way across the Atlantic Ocean through the miracle of technology and speak with our own Cannabis Cure UK out there in England. How are you doing today, Greg?
G'day. Today we're going upside down, Russ.
Oh, we are?
Yeah, cool, blimey. Everything's upside down.
How did that happen?
Oh, I've got no idea, mate.
Well, what's up for the tune today?
Go. I've got this one. It's by this hip-hop, chill-hop crew in Brisbane, in Australia.
Oh!
I found this one when I was looking for music for my own show, so I thought I'd share this one.
Ah, that explains the whole upside down thing.
Yeah, this I like the whole international flavor that the Normal Show Live gets going on, so I thought I'd join in with that a little bit more.
All right.
When I found this track. Yeah. So this one's it's called Analyst on the Cannabis by the Law Crew.
All right. Do we know anything about the band?
I have not got much of a clue about that. I've spoken to one of the guys in there, and he seems quite cool, and they like ganja. But when I asked him some questions, he didn't really reply to them. So maybe he really did have some good ganja.
Maybe that's the case. All right. Well, Cannabis Cure UK bringing us some analyst on the cannabis from Lore Crew. And tell folks about your podcast that you got going on now.
Cool. Yeah, cheers. I've got a UK podcast to try and get the activist movement sort of up to a higher level of community than it is at the moment. You can check it out. It's cureuk.podomatic.com. And you can find me at Twitter at CannabisCureUK, and all my links will be posted up there throughout the day, usually.
All right, everyone, check that out. Cannabis Cure UK, thank you so much. This is Lore Crew with Analyst on the Cannabis.
Thinking's messing with my flow. Gotta tap in to my natural ability. Overthinking situations, me to an epitome. I'm an analyst on the cannabis. Can resist or had to quit. Rapping while I'm adamant. Expression, yo, we're just letting you know. Pieces of our minds inside every flow. Yo, it's a simple life when it's simplified. Complications can eat you up inside. And yo, I thrive to the vibes that life can hide. And say, blind through this life like a scenic drive. Ignorance is bliss, it's a simple shit. Smile on my dial as I'm puffing on a spliff. Shit.
Pursuit of knowledge is a never-ending road. It's a wise one to travel, but our soul is letting go. Yo, cracking every code in this life that is infinite is pointless. You can't even grasp on the simple shit. I live blissfully, knowing that life is a mystery. Keep my mind open and giving love simple seed. People profit from perception of history. Global division and deception sickens me. I'm kicking free, no time frame. Not getting slowed down by society's mind games. Quietly I came and quietly I'll leave. But not without making some fucking noise. In between the choice to be free and yo, I'll also take unity. The skills and the brain to sustain this community. This game is nothing new to me. My crew has got immunity. Moving like calligraphy, intertwining fluidly.
My reputation is too high for to let somebody drag me with me.
I'm sitting free, sipping tea, mystically sowing synergy, for this art's my divinity, I'm literally not some man immune to injury, I may dig for change, but it ain't to buy your sympathy instinctively, I lift my pen from pain and imagery, and close my eyes to depict what I've written visually, showing vividly, and often unwillingly, aside to the ride that resides like his energy, word wizardry, cast a curse upon the canvas, marked as outlandish, for crafts that I brand. Is this Briz bandit jumping off like Geronimo at the Bottolo from Brisbane to what he goes? It's been a rocky road from the roots that raised me. Steered clear of the shady since a buck tooth baby, but my luck grew greatly as I stuck to making a mark in this art. It's like fuck, who's waiting?
You want a copy of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media, and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch-long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
I'm a doctor.
I'm a lawyer.
I'm a journalist.
I'm a student.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a representative.
I have cancer.
The outdated laws of prohibition are more dangerous than the plant itself.
I lost my scholarship.
I was fired.
20 million arrests since 1965. This is getting ridiculous.
Our prisons are overcrowded with nonviolent offenders.
We have the opportunity to change.
This is costing our country billions of dollars.
Making my family and I fight in a courtroom is difficult enough when I'm already fighting through chemotherapy.
There's no reason to be scared by tradition anymore.
We can stop this.
We can stop this.
We are the American people.
We can stop this.
And you have our support.
We're old.
Young.
Straight.
Gay.
We're every race and nationality.
And we're not going to give up.
You can tax it.
You can regulate it.
Apply age restrictions.
You can create millions of new jobs.
We can save our economy.
President Obama?
It's time for legalization.
Legalization?
Yes.
We
can.
This has been a public service.
NARMAL stands for Reforming America's Prohibitionist Marijuana Laws, and that cannot happen without directly engaging our government and elected officials. Local NARMAL chapters and other affiliated activists relentlessly lobby our lawmakers for a change we can believe in and report on their strategies and progress in this segment we call Our Government at Work.
All right, folks, in Our Government at Work today, we're pleased to be joined by U.S. Representative Jared Polis, a Democrat from Colorado. Representative Polis, welcome to the show.
It's a pleasure to be on.
You were elected in 2008, and you just won re-election in 2010, but you haven't been shy about calling for a need for marijuana law reform. I got to meet you in person out there at KushCon in Denver. How has your stance on marijuana reform affected your interactions with your colleagues in the House?
You know, what a great event that KushCon was as well. Just a very successful trade show. It's exciting to see all the jobs and the companies that are being created in this sector. I find that a lot of members of Congress privately agree that we need to change our drug policy. They're just still too timid or scared to come public with it. And that's kind of what I find. I find very few that are kind of hardcore on the other side.
Okay. And looking forward to work in the United States Congress as far as marijuana law reform goes is kind of troubling sometimes at best for us in the reform community, because we know how slow the gears grind there up on Capitol Hill. Representative Barney Frank and Representative Ron Paul have been longtime stalwarts for reform in various arenas, from industrial hemp to medical marijuana. Have you been working with those representatives, and do you have any plans to introduce federal legislation?
Yes, we really have a growing group of representatives that support decriminalization at the federal level and changing the schedule of marijuana substance. So, it's not a majority yet, but it's growing rather than shrinking. One of the things that I'm working on the political front is fearlesscampaign.org. And if you go to fearlesscampaign.org, you can sign up for, we're basically creating a grassroots movement towards changing our federal drug laws in one of the areas. It's fearlesscampaign.org/marijuana.
Excellent, excellent. Now, you, of course, representing the state of Colorado, we talked about the KushCon event that happened there in Denver. A lot of people, you know, around the country may not realize that it's Denver and not Los Angeles or any place in California that has the most marijuana dispensaries per capita, I believe. So, coming from an area that has so embraced the medical marijuana, what are you telling your fellow legislators on Capitol Hill as far as what they can expect from medical marijuana in their state?
Well, they can expect jobs, they can expect reduced crime, they can expect increased tax revenues, so they can expect to reduce suffering of patients. So, that's the type of things that they can expect. When Colorado voters overwhelmingly passed a medical marijuana law, the legislature took their responsibility very seriously and passed laws to implement that. So there's a very, it's far from perfect, but compared to where other states are, there's a decent regulatory structure here, and there's a specific rules that the marijuana dispensaries have to play by, and it's really enabled them to grow and flourish in the communities that allow them. We've had some communities that exercise their local discretion have chosen not to allow those kinds of businesses as well.
Now, recently, some of those regulations that have been passed in Colorado include a Senate Bill 1284 that came up with a lot of these new regulations for dispensaries. How do you see these regulations playing out in Colorado, and do they bode well for other states that are looking to pass medical marijuana?
Yeah, you know, and I think some of the fears of people that are opposed to medical marijuana, they're just worried that, you could have these stores anywhere, and what's the control on whether they're doing it right. But, you know, we've had a regulatory structure for liquor stores for a long time, and also for pharmacies. I mean, we know how to do this kind of thing. It's just a matter of doing it right. I mean, having background checks for the people involved. We have the video cameras and so forth, monitoring the premises, audits to make sure that the people have the right medical permission. So, It's not as difficult as it sounds, and in many ways it's easier than some of the other substances that are already regulated.
We're speaking with Representative Jared Polis, Democrat from Colorado, second term in the House of Representatives. I'm curious about your background, sir, and how you came about the marijuana reform issue. Was this personally important to you, or just what shaped your views on this issue?
Well, it's important to a lot of my constituents. Again, it wasn't really an issue until Colorado passed the medical marijuana law, and that was the will and the law of the voters of Colorado. So at the federal level, I try to back that up, and I try to make sure that we don't have federal agents coming in and arresting law-abiding people in Colorado. We're trying to open up the banking resources for Colorado dispensaries that have really faced a lot of discrimination and difficulty with normal banking services. So really just trying to support local businesses and my constituents.
Okay. And I'm looking through your background listing here in Wikipedia, and it points out that you were the first openly gay man elected to the House as a freshman representative. And in the marijuana law reform, we've often heard a term, you know, where people will say cannabis consumers need to come out of the closet and admit that they are just regular law-abiding folks that use cannabis. And of course, that's a reference to the whole come out of the closet in the gay rights movement that has led to so many positive strides in that area. Do you see a comparison between the two movements in that respect, in the need for the consumers of cannabis to be more open about their use?
Yeah, I do think they need to. It's really it's been kind of something that wasn't talked about, something that was, secretive, even though, oddly enough, people would frequently, brag about or talk about being on much harder core substances. They say, oh, my doctor gave me morphine or something, to kill the pain, or I had to take a Percocet, after my dental surgery. But yet they don't talk about, using medical marijuana. So, yeah, like any other issue, the visibility helps. Because it helps people realize, oh, it's my friend, it's my neighbor, it's my cousin, rather than just something abstract. And once they have that human face to go with it, I think it really helps shift their attitudes.
Also, looking back through your career here, I see that you worked with the State Board of Education since the year 2000. You formed the Jared Polis Foundation, creating opportunities for teachers through the Teacher Recognition Awards. Looking to the fields of education and science, one of the things that we've been disappointed with in the Obama administration is they said that they would base their decisions based on science and bring science back to the fore. And we're finding, though, in the area of marijuana research and medical marijuana, that doesn't seem to be the case. If you had the chance to speak with Mr. Obama and get a chance to educate him on the issue, what would you tell him?
Well, I think first of all, the scientific jury is very much still out. There need to be a lot of double-blind studies to look at the different impact of different substances. So, there's a lot of science that needs to be done, it is being done. But part of the problem is the laws have gotten in the way of the science. It was very difficult to conduct research with marijuana, and still is, by the way, compared to many other substances. So, we need good science, but we need the laws to allow the good science to occur. You know, and that's the type of policies, and to try to give some backbone to members of Congress why we launched the Fearless Campaign .org as well, to help try to move the country forward. I mean, we're at this point where close to half the country supports medical marijuana, and it's close to that for marijuana legalization. It's probably in the order of 40%, and yet far from 40% of Congress supports it. I mean, you only get, you know, a handful of members, myself included, that are willing to say that, but it's nowhere close to the way that society itself has evolved on this issue.
Representative Polis, are you still sitting on the subcommittee for legislative and budget process?
That's the Rules Committee. Yes, I am on the Rules Committee. Yes, yes, I am.
Does that committee at any time have any input, or does it ever examine the federal budget? Or am I thinking about the wrong committee here when I see legislative?
No, it would probably be the Budget Committee that does that. We have a subcommittee on rules that provides kind of the rules aspect to the budget. But no, the budget comes through the Budget Committee, which is a different committee.
Mm. Okay. I was going to go in the direction of Mr. Obama's answer to the LEAP question that came up in the YouTube, where they, you know, asked him about the, you know, ending the war on drugs. And Mr. Obama responded with talk about more treatment and more education and shifting that. But of course, our federal budget doesn't recognize that at this point. It's still 2-1 in favor of incarceration and interdiction. Contributing here to this budget process and getting the federal government to shift more of their resources, what's going to have to happen to make that happen? What kind of political obstacles are in our way from moving toward a budget shifted more toward treatment?
Yeah, and I think the budgetary pressures, and there's going to be, you know, there's cuts really across the board in every area, do provide a good entree for a discussion of decriminalization, because not only do you have the savings from the reduced incarceration and the ability of law enforcement to focus on criminals rather than users of medical marijuana, you also have increased revenues from the taxation of the legal and regulated sale of marijuana. So it's something that, as we're looking at this budget situation, it can actually reduce costs and increase income, and I think that'll be more desirable for most people in our country than having tax increases or having cuts in programs that they care about.
It's like the call we've seen from a lot of our organizations to the new GOP majority. We're saying, if you're looking to cut wasteful, inefficient government spending, look no further than the DEA. Is that something
you don't have too many people running around saying, please tax me, but I think that's something that the marijuana industry is saying, please tax us, rather than sending all the cops to burst out our doors. So, I think it's the least we can do is tax it.
Yeah. Representative Polis, as a representative from the state of Colorado, of course, it's natural to understand why you'd be in support of the medical marijuana issue and keeping the Fed's hands off of the medical marijuana states. But, of course, also Colorado has its share of farmers, and the industrial hemp issue is one that we often don't talk about, and maybe we should. What's your take on that, and what are you doing for industrial hemp?
Yeah, you know, I think industrial hemp has a lot of economic opportunities for farmers in our area and nationally. It's a very durable crop and a very strong market demand, and yet we still have laws that, prevent it from being cultivated in many areas. So, I'm actually very much involved with trying to get that legalized as well. I'm a co-sponsor of that bill, and we'll continue to push for hearings on it as well. I think it's a much easier case than anything else that we're talking about. It really doesn't make any sense to prevent the industrial cultivation of hemp.
Yeah, and of course, the other thing I wanted to ask you, you get to work in Washington, D.C., and of course, Congress has allowed D.C. to proceed on its medical marijuana program. What's it going to be like in D.C. with yourself and your colleagues walking around town and perhaps happening upon a medical marijuana dispensary or two? Can you imagine that looking forward?
Well, the visibility is good. You know, just as we were saying, it really is. The fact that, you know, people will be, it'll be your staff people, your friends that are there, the visibility that people will see, that the world doesn't end. Hopefully crime in D.C. will go down as a result of it. Tax revenue will go up. So, again, the majority of members come from areas that don't have medical marijuana, and so they don't have any exposure to it, like the people from, California, Colorado, Nevada do. But at least they'll get exposure exposure to it in D.C., and I think that'll be a positive thing.
We're speaking with Representative Jared Polis, Democrat from Colorado, encouraging you also to check out fearlesscampaign.org. And Representative Polis, before we let you go, I wanted to ask also what your future plans are in and out of office. Do you plan on keep running for re-election from the House, moving to the Senate, or just a couple terms and then maybe back to private life?
Well, you know, one thing at a time here. I just got elected to a 2-year term, so I'm very much focused on that. You know, I haven't made any decisions for 2 years from now, but there's a good chance I'll run again. But you know, it's a fun job. It's an exciting job. I'm honored to be able to serve the country. We have a ways to go on this issue, marijuana legalization. And we have a ways to go on a lot of other issues. If you know, if everything that I wanted on that I supported happened tomorrow, then I wouldn't have any need to be in Congress anymore, but I don't see that happening. We got to work hard to make it happen, and we'll get there eventually.
Well, we can work hard together to make it happen, and we often encourage people to call their legislators to convince them to support marijuana reform, but we also convince them to contact the legislators who do support us and let them know that we thank them for doing so. So, Representative Polis, if people would like to contact you by email or other methods, do you have some contact info for them?
Sure. The website is just polisforcongress.com, polisforcongress.com. You can email us through that as well. Our political office phone number is 303-381-0121.
All right. Representative Jared Polis from the great state of Colorado, thanks for coming out to that KushCon a couple of weeks ago. And thanks so much for joining us here on Normal Show Live.
20 times more potent than your father's Woodstock. We don't believe the hype. Marijuana's THC potency has always varied, even in the 60s and 70s. And the drugs owners' numbers are full of, well, exaggerations. While no intoxicant is harmless, cannabis is non-toxic and far safer than alcohol. No matter how much you smoke, of whatever potency, you cannot die of a marijuana overdose. Potency is irrelevant anyway. More potent pot just means you smoke less of it, meaning less harmful smoke in your lungs. This is a prime example of harm reduction in action. Besides, the government already allows the prescription of THC pills. Its commercial brand name is Marinol, and it's 100% potent. Meanwhile, the federal government won't allow dying people to use natural marijuana, no matter what the potency. Does this make sense to you? Learn the facts about pot. Visit NORML.org today.
Legalize marijuana? Prove it. Join Normal today at NORML.org, and your donation will help us spread the growing truth about cannabis. Free speech ain't free, you know. You want to legalize it? Call your congressman today. 202-224-3121. It's free, it's easy, and you don't even have to give your name, just your zip code, and they'll hook you up to your congressman. Call 202-224-3121 and tell Congress you support marijuana legalization.
All right, welcome back, everyone. 46 after the hour, and we're bringing to you some comedy here before we get to the radical rant. Something that's been going viral on the web today. Some folks in the chat room have already mentioned it, and it's an instant comedy cannabis classic from Family Feud. You know, the old Family Feud game show. Steve Harvey's hosting it now, and this clip has been making the rounds on the internet. Let me switch over to the video screen for you, and we'll play it for you. This is called Devils and Angels up on YouTube, but everybody else knows it as the name something that gets passed around clip.
All right, guys, here we go. We've got the top six answers on the board. Name something that gets passed around. Oh, Chris.
A joint.
A joint. Yeah. Yeah. Now, Chris, I don't know what 100 people you thought we were talking to at some nice little mall across good old America, but I'm pretty sure the people didn't tell the survey people, hey, an illegal drug. Let's turn around and see how many weed heads are out there with Chris. A joint! is when you know we're going to hell. Okay, Tracy, only four answers topic, so.
The collection played at church.
Now she's got the halo, you know, and I got the horns.
I like the way you tried to stop us from going to hell. You, Mr. You Evil Boy, passing around the little thing with this funny smell, looking for some saving here. Church plate.
That is the ultimate.
It's less than the joint. This is not good.
No, no.
I'm just going to do, you just go over there. They're going to play this.
Yes, we are.
We are definitely going to play this, folks. It is not only good, it is representative of the American people. I mean, they came up with 8 out of 100, right? 8% of the votes saying they'd pass a joint around. Hey, 6% of the American public is smoking marijuana monthly in this country. 11% of the public is smoking marijuana every year. So to get 8% to say yes is not that surprising. It's kind of funny how he cast it as we're all going to hell and it's evil, but come on, Steve Harvey, you're a stand-up comedian. It's not like you've never seen a joint before, all right? You know, and it reminds me that that's my new favorite all-time game show 420 clip. But of course, my favorite before this 420 game show clip comes from The Price Is Right. We'll give you this little extra bonus.
Presenting the stately and picturesque arbor from theintimategardener.com by Rustic Natural Cedar. It's made of Western Red Cedar and is sure to enhance any garden from theintimategardener.com.
And let the bidding begin with Evan.
I've waited all my life to save this, Bob.
$420.
$420. Tiffany, you are next.
$999.
Okay, her bid is $999, and now Christy.
$500.
$500, let us hear from Don.
$650.
$650. And the actual retail price is $799. You're a winner, Donald. You are a winner, and you will play a pricing game right here. Now the time has come for us to meet
Kathleen Lawler. Come on down. You're the next contestant on The Price Is Right.
She was out of there fast, and she's coming down here fast. And we're going to show her the next item up for bid fast.
A cool electric guitar. Play like a pro with the PV Raptor Plus electric guitar and TransTube 112 EFX amp with onboard digital effects that recreate the sound of famous guitar recordings. You're ready to rock with PV.
Kathleen, you are bidder number one.
$1,500.
Evan.
$1,420, Bob.
$1,420. Tiffany.
$1,300.
And of course, as the rest of the clip goes on here, he bids $420
$1.
On every everything
that he
brings up here.
The actual retail price is $770.
The clip continues. It goes on for a while, but until then, that was my favorite game show clip, the 420 clip from The Price Is Right. But now we've got the Ultimate Family Feud clip. So check that out. I've got it posted at our blog. If you need the embed code or the links for it, it's up at our blog at stash.normal.org.
High as a kite, everybody.
This drug in front of me is what they call marijuana.
If we had a dime for every dime bag bought in America, marijuana would be legal by now. Donate to Normal at NORML.org and support Normal Show Live. Going to light.
Roll a big fatty.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended Shaolin Temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
All right, welcome back, folks. You know, yesterday we told you the story about the uprising in Egypt and how it has a interesting link to cannabis in that country. Cannabis Carrie brought us to us in the news, and I bring you some more from the Wall Street Journal. This is the where she got the source, and also CannabisFantastic.com can give you more of this story. But it goes back to a young man who was beaten and ultimately killed by police, and this young man had upon him a video that showed corruption by the police in the case of splitting up a baggie of marijuana, basically. Let me get to this story for you. It's Khalid Saeed, and they're saying this is, again, reporting from the Wall Street Journal is a lot of the source here. The spark that began Egypt's revolution came when Mr. Saeed, a small-frame 28-year-old, walked into the SpaceNet Cafe, one of his regular hangouts, just yards away from where he lived with his mother. The cafe's owner said he saw the two men in plain clothes and pistols on their belts come in and begin hitting Mr. Saeed. He said they picked up the small man and started swinging him head first into a marble shelf. The owner of the cafe and his sons ran to push the policeman out, but they left dragging Mr. Saeed by the hair. A crowd gathered and watched as the two men smashed Mr. Saeed's head repeatedly against an edge of some stone stairs. A doctor in the crowd was heard shouting to the policeman, "What are you doing? He's already dead," as the beating continued. According to the family's lawyer, Mr. Saeed was the target because he posted a video clip on YouTube that purports to show the policeman dividing up a bag of confiscated marijuana with others to resell on the street. The clip was found on Mr. Saeed's computer after his death. The family said he surreptitiously downloaded the video to his cell phone using a Bluetooth device while one of the policemen was showing it to his friends in the cafe. According to the lawyers for the policemen, they say the policemen were looking for Mr. Saeed in connection with two other cases of draft dodging and theft, but when they confronted him, he resisted arrest. They say the defense will produce witnesses that will testify Mr. Saeed's face was unblemished until he arrived at the morgue. Yeah, sure. Senior forensic pathologists from Denmark and Portugal have dismissed the two Egyptian coroner's reports that list his death was due to choking on a 3-inch by 1-inch bag of marijuana. The family says the choking was faked and have produced certificates that confirm Mr. Saeed's military service. His killing sparked a series of demonstrations in Alexandria and Cairo last year, demanding an end to the torture by police. Victims' rights groups in Egypt say police abuses have rarely been pursued and even less often successfully prosecuted. This is just one of many cases that have happened in Egypt where the people have lost respect for the police forces that are basically run by the tyrant dictator there, Mubarak. But what this comes across in my mind for our people is, when do we start taking to the streets and marching like this in huge numbers in protest? It's not like we don't have similarly outrageous cases here in the United States of police dipping into the evidence locker and selling some of what they find in there out on the streets. It's not like we don't have the cases of police killing innocent people in their homes on mistaken warrants when they're looking for marijuana. These cases happen every day in America, and yet they're not given the same sort of treatment that we're seeing here in Egypt. It's not like I'm suggesting that we go out and start throwing rocks and having riots, but what would it take for everyone to get together on 420 this year, and instead of getting together with friends and watching Friday and smoking a bowl, how about taking you and your friends down to the state capitol and making a stand for ending this injustice in America? At 420, we need to start thinking of this as a political gathering and less as a party, and not letting the media dismiss this as just some sort of smokeout. You know, every year when the 420 holiday comes along, we get that little cutesy human interest story about 420 and somebody explaining how it was the group of kids in San Rafael, California called the Waldos who invented it. And hey, look at all these young people out here and the cloud of smoke rises. Tee hee. Well, let's turn it into something more than that. Let's learn from our brothers and sisters in Egypt here who have taken to the streets and demanded a change, demanded an end to a tyrannical, despotic regime in their country that continues to support corruption and torture. In our country, let's stand up and show our leaders that we want an end to the 40-year war on drugs. We've got an administration that knows better, that has admitted in the past that the war on drugs is ultimate failure and needs to be changed, who has admitted in the past that marijuana needs to be decriminalized, our laws need to be rethought. It's long past the time that the science has proven to be on our side with respect to its medical use. It's long past the time that we've seen study after study after study recommending the decriminalization of marijuana. We've seen Portugal decriminalize and had a decade's worth of success that's been confirmed by every independent agency that's looked at it. The Netherlands has had a 30-year tolerance policy on marijuana and shows half the drug use and half the cannabis use rates of America. It's time to wise up, and it starts with you. It starts with you and me and everybody gathering together on 420 and going to their state capitol, going to their county seat, going to their media, and making your voice heard. It's time for this to end. The revolution in Egypt is pointing the way, showing that the power of the people will be heard if they gather together and if they promote their cause strongly enough. We can do it, and we can do it without violence. Thanks for joining us here at Normal Show Live. Stay tuned for hour two. We got a special guest. Chris Goldstein from Coalition of Medical Marijuana New Jersey is joining us to discuss an upcoming meeting and the latest developments there in the Garden State. For Radical Russ and Cannabis Carry and Ganja John, until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.